What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Tonight, the emergency playing out at Yosemite National Park, the evacuations. More than 500 firefighters battling to save the ancient sequoias. Flames burning across more than 2,300 acres, doubling in size in 24 hours. More than 1,600 residents and campers ordered to evacuate. Will Carr reporting from the fire zone tonight. Also, news on the coronavirus here in the U.S. and what health officials are now warning tonight could be the most transmissible COVID variant yet in this country. And what Moderna is now saying tonight about its new booster when it comes to that particular variant. Eva Pilgrim standing by. Just days before his trial for contempt of Congress, former Trump advisor Steve Bannon now says he's willing to testify before the January 6th committee. Tonight, a judge now saying despite Bannon's change of heart, his trial will go on. Also late today, what we learned about tomorrow's January 6th hearing, who will testify now, and the other key witness we're expected to hear from, Rachel Scott with new reporting. The war in Ukraine, and tonight the White House now warning it believes Iran is getting ready to help Russia. What they're expected to send to fight the Ukrainians. James Longman standing by reporting from Ukraine. Japan in mourning over the assassination of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And what we've now learned tonight about the alleged gunman, Bob Woodruff, is there. Here at home tonight, the urgent manhunt underway for the armed suspect wanted for shootings at several 7-Elevens today. Multiple people shot across several locations. Elon Musk terminating his plan to buy Twitter. Could Twitter now sue him? And what Musk said about it all, of course, on Twitter. And America strong tonight, the plane stuck on the tarmac and the spontaneous performance. You have to see this.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to be back with all of you at home after the July 4th holiday. We do have a lot to get to tonight, what could be the most transmissible COVID variant yet right here in the U.S., what health officials want everyone to know tonight. But we are going to begin this evening with the emergency in Yosemite National Park, the evacuations and the race tonight to save the park's rarest treasures, a massive wildfire burning towards some of the oldest giant sequoias on the planet as a new heat wave spreads across the West tonight. The Washburn Fire roaring to life, doubling in size in 24 hours. More than 1,600 residents and campers have already been ordered to flee. More than 2,300 acres have already burned. Persistent drought and rising heat fueling the flames. More than 500 firefighters working around the clock tonight, digging fire breaks right there to try to hold the fire at bay and putting sprinklers at the base of the ancient trees, hoping to protect them from the flames. And tonight here, these new satellite images showing the smoke now spreading hundreds of miles, the Washburn Fire labeled right there on the right of your screen, and of course, the major cities on the left. And with these new images come new air quality concerns as far as the San Francisco Bay tonight. ABC's Will Carr leading us off this evening from the fire lines in California.
Tonight, the desperate fight to save the sequoias in Yosemite National Park. More than 500 firefighters battling the flames from the air. And on the ground, crews digging fire lines and removing dead debris.
We have seen fire crews attacking this area. You can see this brush is bone dry. It is perfect fuel for this fire, and you can feel the heat coming off those flames.
The Washburn Fire growing tonight, already scorching more than 2,000 acres, doubling in size in just 24 hours.
It's now 25% contained.
It's scary. I'm just hoping the firefighters, they know what they're doing. I'm just hoping that they keep it that way as much as possible.
Some flames reaching the sequoias in the park's iconic Mariposa Grove. Firefighters quick to jump on them. The park home to some 500 sequoias, including the ancient 200-foot tall grizzly giant.
The fire did get into the grove a little bit, and it didn't get much further. And part of that is because there's been a history of prescribed fire in here to really create a fuel situation where there's not a lot to burn on the ground.
Those prescribed fires intentionally set, protecting the trees, allowing them to grow.
Crew setting up sprinklers to protect the trees, soaking the base of the trees and increasing the humidity. While fires have threatened these parts for centuries, hotter temperatures and drought conditions linked to climate change are creating a perfect storm for these fires. Conditions are drier, hotter, and windier, creating the most dangerous conditions seasoned firefighters have ever seen. More than 1,600 residents and campers ordered to evacuate the area. Satellite images showing smoke from the blaze stretching as far as the Bay Area.
While fire crews are doing everything they can to protect these sequoias, you can hear those helicopters overhead. This fire's continuing to burn through dangerously dry fuels. The winds are supposed to be light here this week, so fire crews are hoping they can up their containment numbers in a fire that will likely burn for weeks. David.
All right, Will Carr leading us off tonight. Will, thank you. The other major headline this evening involves the coronavirus here in the U.S. and what authorities now say could be the most transmissible variant yet, as I mentioned, now spreading across the country. And this evening, what Moderna is now saying about its new booster, how effective it is against this troubling variant. Their data is hopeful, but of course, how soon before that booster is now available? Here's Eva Pilgrim tonight.
Tonight, with COVID resurging, experts are warning the subvariant BA5 could be the most transmissible Omicron variant yet.
Omicron BA5 has mutations in its spike protein that give it the ability to escape antibodies both from vaccines and from infections from previous Omicron subvariants.
BA5 is driving COVID infections and now makes up more than half of the country's new cases. And health officials in Los Angeles and New York are once again urging people to mask up indoors.
Better safe than sorry. That's what I said. It's a simple thing to put on a mask.
Nearly three-fourths of Americans are now living in a county at medium or high risk of COVID. The country is averaging 100,000 new cases daily, but since most home tests go unreported, experts warn that number could actually be seven times higher, and more Americans are going into hospitals.
BA5 doesn't seem to be causing more severe illness, but just like with every new variant, if it's spreading fast, it causes more infection. Ultimately, we will see an impact in our hospitals.
Moderna today reporting its new booster produced six times more antibodies against the BA4 and 5 subvariants a month after injection. But that new shot won't likely be available until October or November at the earliest.
There is some urgency to figure out the composition of the vaccine for the fall. We don't want to be in a situation where we have a rise in cases ahead of vaccination and we're trying to play catch up.
71 million Americans still haven't received a single vaccine shot. More than half of the eligible population has not gotten their first booster.
And Eva Pilgrim back with us on the virus again tonight. Eva, getting back to what Moderna said today about its new booster, saying it has more antibodies in this particular booster against this BA5 variant than the current vaccine does. That, of course, is good news. We all loved hearing that. But then the question quickly becomes how soon before the booster is available across this country.
That's right, David. Moderna says that vaccine candidate produced almost twice the number of antibodies as its current vaccine. Moderna plans to submit its data to the FDA later that week, this week. And the White House says that we could expect to see a rollout in October or November. David.
All right. Eva Pilgrim with us here tonight. Eva, thank you. Next tonight here, just days before his trial for contempt of Congress, former Trump advisor Steve Bannon now says he's willing to testify before the January 6th committee. Well, a judge today saying that despite his change of heart, his trial for contempt of Congress will go on. Also tonight, what we learned late today about tomorrow's January 6th hearing, who will now testify, and the other key witness we're expecting to hear from. Rachel Scott on the Hill again tonight.
Tonight, a federal judge appointed by former President Donald Trump refusing to delay the trial of Steve Bannon, despite Bannon's last-minute offer to testify before the January 6th committee. On January 5th, Bannon had urged Trump supporters to head to Washington.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. It's not going to happen like you think it's going to happen, okay? It's going to be quite extraordinarily different. And all I can say is strap in.
Why did you blow off Congress?
Bannon has refused to cooperate with the committee, citing executive privilege, even though he had not worked in the White House for years.
And from the start, he said he's willing to comply if they just resolve the privilege issue, which he feels is bound by.
Now, with the trial just days away, Trump suddenly giving Bannon the green light to testify. But prosecutors fired back, saying Trump's own lawyer told them the former president never actually invoked executive privilege in the first place. Prosecutors insisting the only thing that has really changed is that Bannon's finally about to face the consequences of his decision.
All right, Rachel Scott with us because there were a couple of other major developments. She's live up on the Hill tonight. First of all, Rachel, former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone, we know testifying behind closed doors for more than 8 hours on Friday. You reported here on that. I know the committee had wanted to question him for quite some time. What are you learning tonight about what he might have told the committee? And, of course, one of the key questions going forward, did he confirm any of the testimony from that White House aide, Cassidy Hutchinson?
David, we are, in fact, learning that Pat Cipollone did confirm part of that bombshell testimony from White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, including that he tried to stop Trump from traveling to the Capitol on January 6th. We are also told that Cipollone was asked behind closed doors about presidential pardons for Republican members of Congress and Trump's false claims about the 2020 election, David.
In the meantime, one more question for you, Rachel, because I know our sources are telling our Washington team late today more about tomorrow's January 6th hearing, that it will include testimony from one of the rioters who stormed the Capitol, a man who warned, in his words, of a possible, quote, civil war.
David, and his name is Stephen Ayers, and before he even traveled to Washington, D.C. and stormed the Capitol, he posted on social media highlighting a tweet from former President Donald Trump telling his supporters to be there on January 6th, saying it would be wild. Tomorrow, the committee will try to make the case that Trump's words were a signal to violent extremist groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, David.
All right, Rachel Scott tonight. Rachel, thank you. And of course, Rachel and our entire political team will be right here with me again tomorrow. ABC News live coverage of the January 6th committee hearing begins at 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on ABC. In the meantime, tonight, we turn to major developments in the war in Ukraine. Late today, the White House now warning it believes Iran is now getting ready to help Russia. What Iran is expected to send to help the Russians fight the Ukrainians. Meantime, the images tonight, the civilian death toll rising from Russia's missile strikes on that massive apartment building in the east. And tonight, the story of the survivor pulled out after more than 30 hours in that rubble. Our foreign correspondent James Longman from inside Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, the White House says it believes Iran is ready to provide hundreds of unmanned aerial vehicles, including armed drones, to Russia and give their fighters training to use them in the war in Ukraine.
Our information indicates that the Iranian government is preparing to provide Russia with up to several hundred UAVs, including weapons-capable UAVs, on an expedited timeline.
White House officials say it's not clear if Iran has delivered any of these drones to Russia yet, but says the training could begin before the end of this month. All this as Russia presses its attacks in eastern Ukraine. And tonight, after more than 30 hours under the rubble of a Russian strike, somehow this man was brought out alive. 33 people are now known to have died in this attack on an apartment block in eastern Ukraine. The moment the missile hit, caught in this video circulating online. The building almost obliterated, and more than 20 people are still thought trapped. Valery prays outside for his sister and 9-year-old nephew. Now I'm waiting for a miracle, he says. Russian strikes raining down across the country as their troops push further into Donetsk. That's the second of the two provinces that make up the Donbass region of the east.
And Moscow has now started fast-tracking Russian passports for Ukrainians in areas that they occupy. Ukraine has condemned that as another act of Russification. That is the effort to claim land permanently. David?
James Longman reporting again tonight. James, our thanks to you as always. In meantime, in Japan tonight, the investigation into the assassination of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe as that nation mourns his death. The images tonight, a hearse carrying Abe's coffin arriving at a temple there in Tokyo, people lining up and filing by to pay their respects. Among them, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Ambassador Rahm Emanuel offering condolences on behalf of the U.S. Tonight here, what investigators are now learning about the suspect and what he allegedly did the day before the assassination. ABC's Bob Woodruff from Tokyo.
Tonight, we're learning more about the possible motive in the shocking assassination of the former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Police say 41-year-old Tetsuya Yamagami, a former member of the Japanese Navy, confessed to killing Abe during a campaign event Friday, and that he planned the attack for about a year and reportedly had planned to use an explosive. But in order to target only Abe instead of a large group, he decided to use a gun instead. Japanese media also reporting that the gunman allegedly decided to attack Abe after watching a video message Abe sent to his mother's church, which the gunman blamed for her financial ruin. That church, a controversial group called the Unification Church, known in the U.S. as the Moonies, named after their founder, Sun Myung-moon. But the Unification Church said there is no record of asking the suspect's mother for large donations. Authorities also acknowledge security failures and are investigating how the gunman was able to get so close to Abe, allegedly firing two shots from a homemade gun, seen here, two barrels bound together with black tape. The suspect reportedly telling police he learned how to build guns from videos posted online.
And Bob Woodruff reporting in tonight from Tokyo. Bob, I know you're learning more about the suspect's alleged planning leading up to this attack, including what authorities believe he did the day before.
Yeah, there's two big new pieces of information, David. The local media actually reports that the suspects allegedly test-fired his homemade guns in the mountains and actually attended another Abe campaign event the day before the assassination. David?
All right, Bob Woodruff reporting in from Tokyo. Bob, thank you. Back here at home tonight on the White House lawn today, President Biden commemorating the new bipartisan gun reform legislation 2 weeks after he signed it into law, calling it proof that meaningful progress is possible despite the deeply divided politics in this country. He thanked lawmakers, survivors, families of victims for helping to make it happen.
Because of your work, your advocacy, your courage, lives will be saved today and tomorrow because of this.
At one point today, he was interrupted by Manuel Oliver, a father who lost his son at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. The father shouting, "We have to do more." President Biden then agreeing with him, calling for a federal ban on assault weapons, the semi-automatic rifles like the ones used in recent mass shootings, including just last week in Highland Park, Illinois, in Uvalde, and in Buffalo, New York as well. We turn to the economy and to gas prices. Tonight, the national average now $4.67 a gallon, down nearly 13 cents from a week ago and more than 32 cents from the record high a month ago now. Since then, the longest downward streak since April 2020, thanks to the falling price of oil and lower demand, of course, after the July 4th holiday. We love this image tonight in Phoenix. Customers driving crosstown to CK Food Mart, where the husband and wife owners have dropped their price to $3.99 a gallon. And they say tonight it's forcing other sellers, including the local Costco, to drop their prices as well. We're all going to head to Phoenix. When we come back here tonight, the other news this evening, the urgent manhunt tonight for the armed suspect wanted for shootings at several 7-Elevens just today. Multiple people shot across several locations. And then Elon Musk's battle with Twitter. He says he's no longer going to buy Twitter. And where did the fight play out? On Twitter.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, authorities are searching for an accused killer targeting 7-Eleven stores in Southern California. Authorities say five people were shot today at four different locations, including in Riverside and Santa Ana. Two of the victims died. Police releasing surveillance images tonight of the suspect. Authorities are asking for the public's help. To the index of other news, and Elon Musk no longer buying Twitter and responding to Twitter's threat to sue him by responding on Twitter. The stock plunging more than 11% after he terminated the $44 billion sale. He claims Twitter would not disclose information that he wanted on computer-generated false accounts called bots that many believe can contribute to misinformation and conflict. Twitter denying his claims. Musk posting 4 images of him laughing, suggesting if he sued, the company will have to disclose bot information in court. And tonight, check this out. The first image from NASA's Webb telescope just in. It shows thousands of galaxies. NASA says the Webb Space Telescope revealing the deepest view of the universe ever captured. More on that tomorrow. Finally tonight here, who hasn't been stuck on a plane on the tarmac, but with an orchestra? Tonight here, yet another flight delay, but this one is definitely different. Grounded 90 minutes at Newark, the flight attendants noticed the children's orchestra on board. They asked them to perform. One dad holding his baby boy up to sea. The song from Pirates of the Caribbean. And the passengers, well, they wanted an encore. Eighteen children from 10 to 17, part of a nonprofit student performance group, Music City Strings, from Nashville. Playing right up until they were cleared for takeoff, then the flight to Germany, and for that group, on to Croatia. Their performance there. And right here tonight,
hi, David.
Elaine Krell from Music City Strings on why they performed on that flight.
Kind of helped them forget about all those annoying thoughts of, oh, man, I'm stuck here. This is annoying. They could forget all that and just enjoy the music.
Hi, David.
And Ella Goggins on the universal power of music.
We were on a plane with people from many different countries who spoke so many different languages, but everyone understood what we were doing, and it brought them joy.
Incredible talent from Nashville. I'm David Muir. Great to be back with you, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.